What do I mean when I say Happy Mother's Day? I mean blessings this Mother's Day. Happiness comes and goes. Amen? It just comes and goes. So I'm saying blessings on this Mother's Day. Now, the older I get, I realize that Mother's Day can be very joyous or very painful. Now, I'm going to say it again, and it's a scary thing. You know, I keep getting people emailing me, hey, listen to your message Sunday from all over the place. That is terrifying. My mom gets on and listens to these things. That is terrifying. So right now, hey, Mom. Hi, Mom.
Hi, Mom.
And by the way, and I've said it before in her presence in other places, I didn't have the perfect parents, but I had the perfect parents for me. I didn't have the perfect parents, but I had the perfect parents for me. And I thank God for both of my parents, my mom and my dad. And I understand that Mother's Day can be very joyous for some, but also very painful for others. And that pain can be for multiple reasons. But God is good. Where did motherhood even come from? You know, a while ago, there's a couple different books written and things, and there was this inference about God being female. Well, I got news for you. God is both. Then God said, this is from the book of Genesis, then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. There's so much here in the beginning in this book. You know, it proves the Trinity of God in a short way, in a brief way. Because if it was just one God and only God the Father, that would not say that, would it? Then God would say, let me make man in my image and in my likeness. But it doesn't. It's plural. It's plural. There is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Trinity, in the very book of beginnings, which is what Genesis means, the Trinity is hinted at because of even the grammar that's there. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. And he created what? What's it say? Male and female. God created male and female. Now I'm going to get a little bit technical. Oh, by the way, when you see that font and that color and underline, that means if you want to take sermon notes, if you get super bored and want to take notes, you got notes in your worship folder, and that's the first blank. Whenever you see that, it means there's a blank. Ontological. That's a Greek word. It means words about origin or beginnings. All right? That's all that means. So we're using Greek, we're using English, and this is Latin. Can you believe that? You didn't know you'd have Greek, English, and Latin today, did you? I had to look all of them up. Actually, that's probably not exactly true. I had to memorize this stuff in school. So ontological argument. We're going to look at the ontological argument very briefly, and it means a priori or from before is all that means, is from before. And let me get to what it means, i.e., here's what it means. Creation reflects the Creator. Creation reflects the Creator is what the ontological argument is all about. So do we see moral or morality in creation? Please nod your head. And so that implies that God has morals. Whoever created this has morals. Do we see order? I see someone I missed. Do we see order? By the way, come see me if you're a mom and I miss giving you one of these during worship. Please see me. I got two left. All I have is two left, all right? So see me quick because there's only two left. Where in the world was I? Creation reflects. So everything that's in creation is a thumbprint of the Creator. So there's morals. Is there laughter in creation? All these things are attributes of God. Now, I understand that you do run into a beef problem, the problem of pain and the problem of illness. And because if you use this argument, it reflects back. And we can talk about that. If you have questions about that, please talk to me afterward. So here we go. A mother's tenderness and love is a reflection of the Creator God. A mother's tender love is a reflection of the Creator God. See, God, all the beautiful things that we see in the world are a reflection of God. And so that tenderness, as we're worshiping, I could sense the tender presence of God meeting me as we were worshiping. Were you able to? Any amens on that, rascal? Yes, because tenderness and love are from God. Here's just one verse from the Old Testament. I have one from the New. As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you, the Lord says to Israel. Can God the Father comfort us like a mother does? Absolutely, because motherly love came from Him. Motherly love throwing through a mom is God indwelling her and God flowing through her. Matthew 23:37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who sent you, how often I've longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. Anyone ever see that happen? It's kind of cool. Mom can, the mother, the hen, we're talking female, right? She sends out this signal and they just shoot right underneath. Turkeys do the same thing. Only for a turkey, I know the better call. Cluck, cluck, and they're gone. I know that one better than the one to come. It's a warning that anyway. Hunters know what I'm talking about. The rest of you, sorry for confusing you. You see, a part of God's essence, His very essence, is agape love. A part of God's essence, His very being. And this we see in 1 John, and I'm just going to take a couple of verses here for evidence for that. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. God is love. That's where love came from. That's where it emanated from. God is love. That's how we can love each other. And 16b says God is love. Now, you might ask the question, you know, but if God is love, then how come bad things happen to me? Well, sometimes I need a dope slap in love. Any of you guys ever need a dope slap? I know someone wants to give me one right now. And here's where that comes from. You see, there is a tough love. And I love in the book of Revelation, if you look in the book of Revelation, I believe it's chapter 4, chapter 5, I should have looked up the exact reference, but John looks and he sees Jesus, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Jesus is a lion. And then he looks and he sees Jesus as the Lamb. Jesus is both a lion and a lamb. There is tough love. And all of us know that raising children, there needs to be the perfect blend of tough love and tender love. Sometimes kids need tough love. Amen? Man, if you don't agree with that, come see me afterward. Please. The political correctness that there is only tender love is a lie from the pit. If you raise up a child, if you got a brat as a child and you don't correct that child, you're going to have a 40-year-old brat. You're going to have a 50-year-old brat. You're going to have a 60-year-old brat. I'm telling you, it takes both tender love and tough love, the perfect blend of it. And I believe only God can empower us to have that perfect blend. And by the way, if you haven't discovered it yet, you got to treat different kids differently to get the same outcome. One of our kids, I could look at sternly and they would move. The other one, I would spank, and they would say, is that all you got? Now, whenever I said a bad word growing up, I got soap in the mouth. I mean, I had soap coming out my nose at times, okay? And I'll be honest, sometimes it wasn't fair because I had no idea what the word was. I was just repeating what someone else said, and it sounded cool. And I had stuff coming out my nose. Now, our one child again, is that all you got? Well, when I used the liquid soap, you know, because it was easier. You know what their response was? That tastes good. Can I have more? vinegar. The perfect blend of tough love and tender love. Jesus is full of grace and truth. Motherly love comes from God. Again, Mother's Day is joyous for some and sad for others. And here's the second point. That was the first point. Now we're moving on to the second point. Some of you are looking at your watch and, oh, we're going to be done early. Who knows? Who knows? No matter how good or bad, can we say, and this is so important, our moms were trying to do their best. Let me read that again. No matter how good or bad, can we say our moms were trying to do their best? I believe that with all of my being. Someone once said, we're all in an epic battle of survival, so let's be gracious to each other. I think that was Francis of Assisi, but I tried to track it down and I couldn't. But I believe that's what he said. We're all in an epic battle of survival. So let's be kind and gracious to everyone. And you've heard me say this before. What parent, first of all, a guy sees a girl and he, hey, you know, can we get married? Because I really want to mess you up. Does any guy ever do that? And then they get together and they, hey, let's have kids and let's just mess them up as much as we can. Does anyone ever say that? Now, believe me, I'm talking across the board. I had wonderful parents. But let's face it, there's some parents that have got so much stuff, so much baggage in their life that they don't even know how to parent yet. They're still kids inside. But they're trying their best. I've known some individuals that even gave up their kids to a good family because they knew they were so messed up that they would just mess up the kid. That was love giving away that child to someone that could give them better. So, can we say again? They're trying. And sure, they messed up. I still remember, I didn't ask permission, Scott, I apologize. I still remember Scott saying, I'm willing to pay for their counseling. Hey, Lynette and I tried so hard to be the perfect parents, but you know what? We blew it at times. And I know you did the same thing. So this Mother's Day, can we extend, with that in mind, can we extend some mercy, love, and grace? And by the way, who has been extended mercy, love, and grace? Man, if you haven't, please see me because I got some good news for you. I got some real good news for you. You've been extended it too by your loving Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. So please, 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 if you haven't come to the place to realize your mom and dad were doing their best, please ask the Holy Spirit to talk to you about it. Because I believe they have. They are. They still are. There are no perfect parents. And by the way, there are no perfect kids either. Adam and Eve. Perfect parent, perfect environment, perfect everything. And what did those chuckleheads do? Your youngest isn't here, so I can use chucklehead. What did those chuckleheads do? They chose to eat of the forbidden fruit. Even in the perfect scenario, they did the wrong thing. So there are no perfect parents, and there's no perfect kids either. I know, Mom, some of you think your kids are perfect. Talk to their friends. Man, I remember in church some of the kids that would come and hit you and then go run behind Mom, you know, and hide behind Mom. And whenever you tried to get even, you just got beat on because by Mom. Well, Johnny would never do that. Man, open your eyes. A school official here is agreeing with me by laughing. That's point number two. Please, please, please. no matter what went on, can we extend mercy, love, and grace? I mean, I don't know how long that your delivery was, but man, our first child, Friday night, Saturday morning, we were both falling asleep in between contractions. And by the way, her water broke Friday night. Lynette's water broke Friday night. The contractions were never more than 5 minutes apart that whole entire time. And then they had to use Pitocin, that lovely thing, Pitocin. You all know what I'm talking about? Oh my goodness. I swore we'd never have more kids. And then we had another one. Oh, glutton for punishment. But we use drugs next time. I love drugs. Man, that doctor came in, the same thing was happening. He looked right at me, and I told him about what happened the first time. How can we avoid this? He looked right at me and said, if we do an epidural, that baby will be in 45 minutes. I'm like, what are you waiting for, dude? You don't even need to talk to my wife. You just do it. Okay, here we are. So, motherly love is from God. Can we extend mercy, love, and grace to our moms? They're all trying. They're doing their best. They really are. You may not think so, but they are. As a mom, are you doing your best? Sure you are. Even on your worst bad hair day, you're doing your best. And then finally, what does God's word say about parents? Well, here's what it says, Ephesians 6:2. Honor your father and mother. And by the way, do you see any conditions on this rascal? Does it say honor your good father and your good mother? Does it say honor your Christian mom and dad? There's no stipulations here. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first command with a promise. And the promise is it will go well with you. Now, let's look at the word honor just a little bit. Both Old and New Testament, technically it's called the etymological meaning of it. I told you, preachers and theologians, they just make up all these words, okay? All it means is the meaning. Old Testament, New Testament meaning of honor means to allow the weight of their words and their being to impact you. That's primarily what it means. Let the weight of their words, so when they're talking like I'm talking right now, you don't just fall asleep and start snoring. You know, I love The Beautician and the Beast. It's an old, old movie that Lynette and I used to watch together. And this lady, Fran Dresser, she's a mess, and she gets hired by accident as a governess to kids. And every once in a while, she just talked to the hand. Talk to the hand. See, that's the opposite of honor. One of the opposites is to disrespect. Talk to the hand. To speak to the hand. I'm not going to even listen to what you're saying. You're such an old fogey, you have no idea, you're clueless. Just speak to the hand. You just ignore. Anyone ever do that? Nah, you would never do that to a mom or dad. You would never say it, but you'd think it, whatever. And I know, I don't even know what the modern lingo is. But you would never do that, would you? You would never disrespect. It does not mean obey. Verse 1 says, children, obey your parents. It doesn't say obey your mom and dad. It says, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Colossians 3:20. Children, if you are 18 years of age and younger and you live with your parents, you obey them. Even if you're over 18 and you're still under their house, you obey them. When you're outside of that, then it is to honor. Means to show high regard for, to respect, to esteem, to truly listen to. Anyone have a mom that talks a whole lot? Anyone honest enough to raise your hand? Look, we don't have pictures in here. We don't have cameras in here. Man, there's no one honest here. Either that or you got quiet moms. Some moms can, you know, because they have husbands that don't listen anymore, you know, so they got to talk to someone, so they're going to talk to who? I know I'm meddling. This Mother's Day, honor means allow the words to impact you, to truly allow them to influence you, to listen to them, to take their words to the Lord. It does, the Bible does not command adult children to obey their parents, but to honor their parents. Even when parent-child roles are reversed, the adult Jewish son and daughter was expected to honor his or her parents. Even when the roles reverse, because that's kind of a scary time, isn't it? When parents become the children and the children have to become the parents, it's a very hard time, a very, very difficult time. But even in that scenario, we're to honor our mother and our father. Here's what Matthew says in Matthew 15, 1 through 6. This is the New Living Translation, the New Living NLT. Some Pharisees and teachers of the law now arrived from Jerusalem to see Jesus. Why do your disciples disobey our age-old tradition? They demanded. They're attacking Jesus. And the Pharisees and teachers are saying, you ignore our tradition of ceremonially washing hands before you eat. Does that sound like a mom talking? I don't know how many times. Wash your hands. Let me see those hands. Go redo it. Anyway. Jesus replied, why do you, by your traditions, violate the direct commands of God? So sometimes we have these traditions and we hold them way up, and that's what the Pharisees were doing. So Jesus answered with a question, why do you, by your traditions, violate the direct command of God? And then he's going to tell us how they do it. For instance, God says, honor your father and your mother. And now listen to this. Anyone who speaks disrespectfully of father or mother must be put to death. Old Testament. We'd have fewer people here today, wouldn't we? Some would argue it's cleansing the gene pool. I'm not. And today, this would be so offensive in our culture, but it's God's word. Spare the rod, spoil the child. Do not abuse children. Do not abuse your children. I am completely against abusing children. In fact, I'll help abuse you if you abuse children. I will dope slap you. I will help call the cops. I will help restrain you. I've done that. Keep you from hurting your children until you're arrested. I've stood in people's homes stopping the abuse until police arrive. I want nothing to do with child abuse. But Scripture says, spoil the child if you spare the rod. Sometimes if a child is begging for a timeout or even a smack, if they're begging for it, give it to them. But only in love, never in anger. Do not abuse children. Do not abuse children. Do not abuse your parents. But you say, so Jesus goes on, but you say it's all right for people to say to their parents, sorry, I can't help you, for what I vowed to give to God, I would have given to you. See, here's, it's kind of like a tax, it's like a tax loophole. So here's what was going on. The children were given inheritance, even double inheritance, and that was to help care for the family, care for their parents. And then when it came time to take care of their parents, it's, I don't have any more money. I'm giving it all to the church. I'm giving what I was going to use for you, I'm giving to the church. So I don't, sorry. Jesus saw this happening, and Jesus called him out on it. For what I have vowed to give to God, I would have given to you. In this way, You say they don't need to honor their parents, and so you cancel the word of God for the sake of your own traditions. By the way, just to push this home further, the attitude, FYI, this is extra, no charge. The attitude of the younger brother in the prodigal from Luke 15 is shocking and reprehensible. The older brother had a good point. What that younger, everyone know what I'm talking about, the parable? So the younger brother, the younger son, he came to the father and basically said in modern English, "Old man, I wish you were dead. Give me my inheritance. Pretend you're dead and give me my inheritance." Anyone who heard that, any Jewish person hearing that would like, "You got to be kidding me. That would never happen. That would never happen." And then he went off and spent all of it, then came back. And what did the father do? Loved him and forgave him. The older brother, "You got to be kidding me. I'm not forgiving him." We are going to end early. So how are you doing at honoring your parents? How are you doing at it? And some of you are thinking right now, "But you don't know my mom. And if I were really sneaky and ornery, I'd say, and you don't know my God. Because God created her, God flowed through her, and she was trying to do her best. And if she's still alive, she's still trying to do her best. And there are no perfect moms. There's no perfect kids." So, one, being poor, you're poor at it, and 10, being excellent. I'm not going to ask how many excellent people are here. I don't want to know. Here's the point. Whatever your number is, wherever it is, what can you do to bump it up to the next level of honoring? And here's just some potential. Green means this wasn't in the original PowerPoint. Maybe it's forgiveness. Maybe it's praying prayers of blessing over them. Maybe it's a gift. Maybe even more important than a gift is more frequent contact. They say that there's more phone calls today than any other day of the year, which is probably appropriate and right. Dads, you don't matter. We're talking about moms. More frequent contact. What about a tribute letter? What about sending them a letter thanking them for all the right things they did or attempted to do? So, on a 1 to 10, now we're just going to have a time of prayer, and I'm going to just ask the Holy Spirit to talk to every one of us. He's already been beating me up on this week, so I just want to share the wealth. On a 1 to 10, where do you think you are? And if you're real high, ask your spouse where she or he thinks you are to give you a little bit more perspective. And then let's ask the Holy Spirit, what can you do through me to up that number to the next level? Now, your parents may be gone. You may want to write a letter and burn it as a sacrifice to them. I'm not sure, but the Holy Spirit will know. Maybe you need to forgive. Prayers of forgiveness, prayers of blessing, some type of gift, whatever it is. Here's our table talk. The message had three main points. Motherly love comes from God. Parents typically are doing their best. God commands us to honor. Which one most resonates with you? What do you think about the idea of motherly love coming from God? What do you think about applying the following statement to our parents? We're all in an epic battle of survival, so let's be gracious to each other. And what are some ways that we can honor our parents in our current culture? Does our current culture honor parents? Not at all. In fact, you go to a counselor and they'll play the blame game. Most counselors do. So, if the worship team could come up, we're going to have our closing worship, but before we go there, I'm going to have a time of silent prayer. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to just come. I got two rascals left. If you're visiting here, I know this isn't much for the labor, and by the way, kids, man, how many times are you sick? I remember us staying up all night long with a sick kid, praying to God that he would heal. Oh my goodness, what do we owe our parents? Ouch. Or wouch, whatever you want. Let's just pray and let's invite the Holy Spirit to speak to each of us, especially how can we be better children? How can we honor our parents? Let's pray. Dear Dad in heaven, I thank you for the conviction that you have given me this week. Thank you. I ask forgiveness for how I have treated my parents by not honoring them as you would have me. Holy Spirit, please continue to come. Continue to come upon each one of us and whisper to us whatever you choose about anything. But specifically, I ask that you would reveal to us how we might honor our parents even more. For we know it pleases you. Because that tender kindness and motherly love emanates from you. It's a thumbprint of who you are. And so in this moment of silent prayer, please, Holy Spirit, reveal however and whatever you choose. We wait in a moment of silence on you.